The reading is from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the ways of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord.
Let me pray. Father, we do want to thank you for these precious opportunities to regroup and gather again. And we thank you, Father, it's not just the joy of being a family where love is shared between us, and that is a precious gift that you give. But more than that, Father, we can sit at the feet of our Father tonight. We pray that that's what your Holy Spirit will help us to do and to learn about Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Now, Ady, if we could just have the psalm on the screen and then stick it, keep it like that, because people can follow it. Well, we are here, aren't we? And we've been so fresh liberated from our time of hibernation, and where the stall doors have opened, and here we are tumbling out. And it is just helpful, isn't it, to see, now that we've been liberated, what the blessed life is that we have been set free to live. And this psalm begins by telling us what that blessed life is. Blessed is the man who dot, dot, dot. So let's find out what the blessed man is like. But before we do that, let me just tell you that it's an incentive for us to see this. Incidentally, some translations talk about the blessed life as a happy life, which it is, but it's much more than being happy. It is the favored life, the highly favored life, looks like this, Psalm 1. And we need to just value it by holding the whole thing together, because the book of Psalms is a book of 150 Psalms. And it's not so much that there are lovely favorites here and there, like Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, and everybody knows that one. But the Psalms actually hold together, so that Psalm 1, the very first verse starts, blessed is the man who, and then right at the last verse of Psalm 150, you find out, well, what the end result of that is. And to be the blessed or favored one in Psalm 1 verse 1 is to be the place where let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That is the outcome of living the blessed life. That with all your breath you start praising God. That is what the book of the Psalms tell us. You start here, you end there. And we want to know what the blessed life therefore is, if we want to end up with everything, all our breath, praising the Lord. And I just want to very briefly take you down the road of Psalm 1, and then to bring you out to two very surprising destinations. Now the road in Psalm 1 starts in verse 1, you can see it on the screen. It's the person who is very careful who he allows to influence him. Because all of us are constantly influenced, aren't we? Every single moment, whether we're walking or standing or sitting, that does just generally describe the whole panoramic view of being conscious every day. And all of us are subject to be influenced by unhelpful folk around us. But then the surprise, and I'm setting us up for a surprise when you look at verse 2, because the alternative, you'd expect the alternative to the person who's giving you bad influence to go and say, well, you're going to stay with the people who've got to give you the good influence. But no. The contrast between the bad influence in verse 1 is the law in verse 2. And we're going to see how the law is a very good influence, because you get to verse 3 and you see that the end result of that is a life that bears its fruit in season, planted by streams of water and constant prospering of that life. But that's the outcome of the richly favored life, is a life that bears fruit. And then it seems like the camera, we're very used to this, aren't we? We're not quite as good as Irving out in the fields when he gets his camera out. But just think, there's a field here, and there's a lot of fruit bearing going on, a tree here. And then you pan over and you see there's a threshing floor over there. And in verse 4, the threshing floor has chaff that is just blown away. It's a picture of God's judgment. Very often in the Old Testament, the chaff is just blown away. And that's the outcome of the unblessed life. Now that's the very brief trip down the road of Psalm 1. What are these two surprises that I've been thinking about? Let me tell you what they are. The first surprise is that this psalm is actually about Jesus and no one else. So it's not a psalm about David, although he wrote Psalm 1. And it's not about you, and it's not about doing these wonderful things and meditating on the law, and then you end up living the good life and the fruitful life, and you become a good person. Because you've just got to go 13 psalms down the track and you get to Psalm 14 and verse 1. David tells you in the very first verse, there is no one who does good. So if you ask David, you'll say that we're all in verse 1. That's where we are. Now, there is only one person of whom verses 1 to 3 would be completely true. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who did not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight was in the law of the Lord, and wasn't he a fruitful tree? Now that is what we need to understand. This psalm ultimately is not instruction, look at the law, go bear fruit. This psalm is description. Look at the Lord Jesus. That is what this psalm is pointing us to. He is the blessed one. We are the chaff that deserve to be blown away. And Jesus wasn't influenced by those unhelpful influences of verse 1. He did meditate on the law of the Lord. And he certainly knew God's favor, didn't he? Because you remember what his father said of him at the baptism. This is my son in whom I am well pleased, on whom my favor rests. And when the Bible talks about a follower of the Lord Jesus, where you and I might come in if we are followers of him, it's very interesting. The Bible doesn't actually talk about followers in the sense of coming after him. But very often the New Testament describes such a person as someone who is in him. Where, if you like, our life is wrapped by his life. His death covers our sin and our forgiveness, and his perfect, righteous life is then written up as our life. He qualifies for us. He gives us his perfect righteousness. That's how the Bible describes those who are in him. And therefore, the way the psalm opens up the blessed life to you and me is to say, well, this is the blessed one, Jesus, and when you are in him, then you are wonderfully favored by God as well. Now, my friends, I want to suggest that that is not just a surprise, but music to our ears. Because I didn't know if you're like me, but I often feel more failure before God than favored. I'm conscious of things that I do wrong. And I can be pretty miserable and down the dumps because that seems to be my track record every day. And so I feel failure. And my guess is in your better moments, you probably have that honesty as well. And the wonderful music that this psalm starts playing to us, without its instruments, that's true, but nonetheless, it plays to us the truth that you are not a failure anymore. You are favored by God because you are in the Blessed One, in whom his favor rests. Surprise one. We are in this psalm because of Jesus, and therefore favored. Let that music keep playing. Surprise number two. This psalm is about grace and not law, connected with point one, with surprise one. But I want to say that it's about grace rather than law, because when you see law in verse 2, for the Christian, that means the Lord Jesus, because he is the one who kept the law, who fulfilled the law on our behalf. And therefore, for us to meditate on the law is to meditate on him, to whom the law was pointing. And so we, if I can put it like this, we take the law from the hand of Christ. And the law is given to us to reflect the Lord Jesus to us. That's who we think of, that's who we picture when we hear law. That's the link that we make. And as we make the link, the Bible is saying, well, now you are in him, you can meditate on him and be like him, because his spirit is in you, and therefore his likeness is worked out of your life. See the logic of that? The beauty of that is it turns law into promise. When the Holy Spirit is working in you, it's not do this, but the opportunity, you can do this. Or if you want to illustrate that with the words of the law itself, where the command says, you shall not, dot, 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 the Holy Spirit comes and makes that into a promise by bringing the emphasis one word earlier, you shall not. And so the Holy Spirit brings the law, Jesus, out into the outworking of your life. That makes a world of difference, doesn't it? I mean, I was with Debbie. We were learning how to fly Drake, the drone, and we were trying to sort of do this, and I was trying to help Debbie to do this. And I said to her, she was very fearful because she says she's uncoordinated, and the whole thing would crash. But I said, no, just take that lever in your left hand, push it forward, and the drone will go up. And with fear and trepidation, she pushed the lever forward. You never guess what happened. You see, when you are with someone who encourages you and pushes you and says, okay, now do this, and you find that you can, and it works. That's what the Holy Spirit does when he opens up the life of the Lord Jesus to us. Now live like this, and you can. You find it's true. And then you bear fruit as the Holy Spirit brings you into the Lord Jesus and his life and the good works that he has prepared for you to walk in. And so the fruit becomes the outworking of the favored one, because the Holy Spirit produces that fruit. Well, let's wrap this up and see three ways this could go. One is, if you're someone who's not persuaded to take the Lord Jesus seriously, to follow him, to be in him, as it were, then it is interesting that when we come out of lockdown life, we have questions to ask, what's the new life going to be like? And I want to suggest to you that just opening the gate after lockdown and coming out of your house isn't really going to create that much difference. But finding God's favor will bring you humbly and happily into the life of the Lord Jesus and relationship in him and with him. May I suggest, if you're not someone who is a persuaded, convinced believer, look, let's have conversations about this, but we'd love you to follow him, to discover the blessed life that only he will give. Secondly, if you're a church person and you've been to church for yonks, my guess is that it's very easy to read psalms like this and to take them as law rather than grace. And so you read psalms like this time and time again in church, and you find out that what you're being told to do is to take one look at the law and then go off and bear fruit. May I suggest that if we are told that, if we try that, we're only going to end up feeling more failure than favored. And so therefore we need to be those who come out of law and come into grace, and to see that the Lord Jesus has brought God's full favor upon us. That's why we might bear fruit, so that we may no longer rely on ourselves and our efforts and our great resolutions, and go instead to live in him. But thirdly, if you're someone who is a real believer, may I suggest to you that it can seem daunting, can't it, to say, well, go and meditate on the law. But what this psalm is saying is, go and meditate on the Lord, because the law is pointing to him. Let him be the one who influences you. That's why, you see, you don't have another group of good people to counter the influence of the bad people. You have instead the Lord Jesus, your counselor, to influence you. And let the Holy Spirit coach you into that new life, to become like him. Maybe in areas where at the moment you aren't like him. Seek his help, and by his Spirit, he will lead you into this wonderful setting, planting you by streams of water, and wonderful fruit will be the future after lockdown. That, my friends, is what blessedness is. Let's pray together that God will give that to us. Let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you that your word is a wonderful book of good news, We thank you that it's in the Old Testament songbook, the Psalms, because these are the truths that make us want to sing. And we pray, Lord, that you would please help us to hear this tune as we go into the new week, that we are favoured. Help us to play that music when we feel failure. And please, by your enormous grace, would you give us the privilege of meditating on the Lord Jesus and being transformed into his likeness by the Holy Spirit. Please, would you do that? We're only asking because we'd love our lives to bring massive honor and glory to his name. And in that name we pray. Amen.